And welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results, and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. I started as a fashion model, then a rock and roll singer, corporate consultant, adjunct professor, and today I'm a professional speaker, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. Let's set the tone for today's program. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. That quote is by Mr. Steve Jobs himself. All right, let's get started. By the way, if you're listening online and calling to ask a question, be sure to mute your computer first. The number to call in is 646-381-4198. We have a fantastic show for you today. So have your pen and paper handy. Our topic is Learning to Love Yourself, and our guest today is Dr. Mickey Berg. Let me introduce her to you. According to Mickey, she said that until the age of 15, she wanted to be anyone but herself. She wanted to be Barbie. Mickey discovered she wasn't Barbie. She was always Raggedy Ann, and after raising six children, she entered graduate school at the age of 50, and working full-time, she earned her master's degree from the University of Michigan. Mickey received her Ph.D. from Fielding Graduate University and was awarded the credential of Professional Certified Coach from the International Coach Federation. On March of 2010, Mickey founded her life coaching practice, which is called Positive Outcomes Coaching. Her book, Falling in Love with Yourself, will be in publication, and her book will be supported with a CD and a workbook to provide you the tools you need to make the positive changes in your life to become more fulfilled and happier. Mickey's book is a transliteration of her dissertation, which was titled, What Are the Lived Experiences of Women Over 50 Who Report a Dramatic Shift from a Negative to Positive Image? And our topic, Learning to Love Yourself, is about how it can be a challenging undertaking as it involves getting rid of those toxic relationships in your life, the people and things and events that hold you back. Self-awareness is a very important step in the process of self-discovery, says Mickey, and the pain in the process is the awareness that it's up to you. You discover how often you sabotage yourself. Through life coaching, several of Mickey's clients have told her that for the first time in their lives, they know who they really are. And one of the first steps to eliminating negative elements in your life is to ask yourself how you feel about yourself when you're in the presence of another person. That helps you to put into perspective those relationships that are helpful, supportive, and real. Well said. Welcome, Mickey.
Thank you. Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you very, very much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show today.
Well, I have some questions here for you. My first one is, since self-awareness is the first step to self-discovery, which leads to this process you speak of reinventing yourself, how would someone do that?
It comes with hitting rock bottom. In my book and in my dissertation, I interviewed 13 women who said that they had this dramatic shift or claim they have a dramatic shift from a negative to positive self-image. And one of the threads that go through all their stories is that they had to hit rock bottom first. And what does that mean? Well, in the title page of my book, I wrote what it meant to me, and that is I never felt good enough or pretty enough or thin enough or any enough until I finally had enough. I looked at myself in the mirror one day, and I thought, are you for real, or are you a phony? Are you really as good as you think you are? And that was the step where I really opened my eyes to myself. That's so hard to do, is really look at yourself in the mirror and beyond. But I believe it's a process of just having enough and hitting rock bottom. And I don't want to feel unhappy every day anymore. I want to feel happy.
I'm with you on that. One of the things that you say is that it's time to take off the mask you've been wearing for your purpose of trying to please other people and face your true image in the mirror of your heart. In the mirror of your heart. I love that. What is this mask you're talking about? And why should people do that? It sounds so
painful.
It's
more than one mask, Yvonne. It's more than one mask. It's the masks, plural, that I wore, that I for all the people in my life that I was working hard to please. The first chapter in my book is called Living in the Shadow, and that's my story. And my story is that I lived in the shadow, or so I thought, or I put myself in the shadow of my parents, of my sisters, of my husband, of my children, of the people with whom I worked. Everywhere I was in the shadow, and I had to come out of that shadow into the forefront. When you started with Steve Jobs' quote, it just touched my heart because I have watched that a few times now, that wonderful speech. And I was very emotional when I heard that quote about don't waste your life living, don't waste your time living someone else's life. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I think for 25 years I was not living my life. I was living my husband's life and my children's life and my sister's life and whatever. And then being the optimist that I am, I thought, no, I needed those years to develop the person I became when I came out of that shadow. That was my training. That gave me the tools. And so I want everyone out there to know you're not wasting time, and even if you think you have been, you have been developing the person that you could be or are today.
Oh, that's so, so true. Because everything that happens to you, whether it's planned or just a surprise, or whether you hit rock bottom, it's part of what builds the character of the spirit of who you eventually become once you find yourself and you take control of your own destiny, right?
Exactly, and it's nothing is a waste of time. I think beating up on oneself is pretty common among people, and so this is preparing you. It's all about timing. I think that's why we're on this call today, Yvonne. You know, we have known each other for several years, but it's the time and place where we needed to be today. And for all the listeners that happen to be on this call who are maybe walking this tightrope of with two paths to go, I'm going to reinvent myself, or I'm just going to sit back and live out my life.
Absolutely. And so there are three questions that you mentioned that people need to consider. How do you describe yourself? Who do you think you are? And what are your very best qualities? And that the second question there, that who do you think you are, that's huge with me, because my mother actually said that to me when I was younger, when I was striving, when I was trying to make something of myself, and I was breaking out of the reality that I was living at the time. She actually looked me right in the eye and said, "Who do you think you are?" And I think that happens a lot with people. So those three questions, how do you describe yourself, who do you think you are, and what are your very best qualities, is that something you use with your coaching clients to help them gain clarity?
I absolutely do, and not only that, I developed those questions out of my travels all around the world, well, to English-speaking countries. I've been several times to Australia, New Zealand, Canada, all throughout the United States, speaking to groups, and I ask this question. Tell me some good things about yourself. You know, 3 to 5 things. Tell me who you are. Describe who you are, that exact question. And it is so difficult. It's like, what do you mean? I can't out loud. I mean, tell me something good about yourself. Well, I can tell you what's wrong with me. No. Tell me something good. And so out of that, I developed an exercise, and this is what I recommend if you're really trying to find out who you are and learning to love yourself. And that is, go to the people that love you, that really love you, your best friends, maybe a sibling, a relative, a mentor, anyone, and ask them that question. The question, tell me some of the best things. Why do you love me? What are some of the best things about me? And just listen and write them down. Or you don't even have to ask them. Ask them to write it down. It's an exercise you're doing for whatever reason, and give it to you. And then in a quiet spot, sit down and look at all those things. And when you can believe and see that these are the things that the people who love you see in you. When you can begin to believe that about yourself, you're more than halfway there. You're more than halfway going from an outside center of locus where you live your life from the outside in, being doing the things that the people outside tell you to do, to begin living your life from the inside out, because you've fallen in love with yourself.
I love that. And you know, that last question, what are your very best qualities? That is an excellent one to email to the people who love you and ask them. Because I have found, as I teach people and coach people, that often the person's very best qualities are the ones that they just shrug off, because they go, oh, that's just me. Well, sometimes that's just you is something that's a wonderful quality that other people admire in you, and you don't even realize it's a strength that you have, because they'll say, you know, I couldn't do that. And you go, oh, it's nothing. I mean, that's another thing, you know, throwing off the compliments that you may get, because
right. Well,
you're not in love with yourself yet.
Hmm? I challenge people, Yvonne, in saying, it's important to love yourself, number one, above all. And I have gotten looks like, are you crazy? And the reason I say that is because if you can't love yourself, number one, why would you expect anyone else to love you? One of my participants ended her interview with this. It's there's a song which I heard in New Orleans more than 20 years ago, and I never forgot, and which reminds me of how far I've come. And that song is, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all.
Oh, I remember that song. Absolutely. That's a really great song. And you know, another thing that I have found, when I was in London teaching a class for women, I talked about loving yourself, and I actually had a woman come up to me on the break and said, "Now, isn't that just plain selfish, sitting around talking about you love yourself?" And sometimes people think it's self-centeredness and it's ego, and that it's not thinking clearly. And I had the same recommendation for her, which is, if you don't love yourself first and take care of yourself first, then what do you have for the people who love you? And why would they love you if you don't even love you? And you could just see a little light bulb go on. Like,
exactly.
She processed it improperly in my mind.
Right. And you know, there is another participant who actually put it, and I think in words that are even clearer, is that I believe that learning to love someone else, you have to love yourself first. You can't love someone else so much that you forget to love yourself.
Oh, that's very, very profound. I really love that. So then what about the question of what do you want for yourself? You know, a lot of people, when you ask them that, they don't even know. Have you ever had that happen, where you say, what do you want for yourself, and the person doesn't have an answer?
A lot of times. In fact, most often when clients, most of my coaching clients come in with something very similar to that question, it's unclear. What they do know is what they do not want, which is to feel every day like they've been feeling, and that is stuck in a place in the universe, in life, where they're not feeling a sense of fulfillment, a sense of joy, this inner feelings that we thrive on, a sense of love, whatever it is. So that, yes, this is what drives people into coaching, and it should be. If you're feeling like that, I don't even know what I want, then it might be time to interview a life coach, because that's what we are trained to do, help you get unstuck and help you reinvent yourself and become the person you want to be. And what is so important, that there's many options. Coaching, halfway through coaching, you may be going down one direction, and all of a sudden there's that big aha. That's why I love being a coach. And you say, wait a minute, I thought I wanted this, and let's explore this a little more. And you take a detour and take the other fork in the road and end up doing something or getting out of coaching something you never could have imagined.
Now, one of the things that you ask your clients is to describe their greatest successes in life. So I'm going to ask you, what are your greatest successes in life that you'd like to share with our guests?
And you are probably going to be surprised. My greatest success is a no-brainer for me, is my six children. my six children, my eight grandchildren, but especially my six children. They were born in 3 months less than 9 years. They're four boys in that order, and then two girls, and they are my very best friends. They're all adults. The boys are married and each have two children. The girls, wonderful lives, one's East Coast, West Coast, but the thing that I see as successful is that they are each other's best friends, that they are good people, that they are respectful, and they are my best friends and forever will be. So as you described all my, quote, achievements, which were academic and that's wonderful, and professional and that's wonderful, it still gets down to I feel my greatest achievement was somehow producing these incredible, incredible human beings that I truly believe are going to change the world for the positive.
I'm totally with you. I am not surprised because that's always my answer.
Mm-hmm.
What's your greatest success in life? And it's my answer is my sons and the fact that they've turned out to be wonderful human beings who make a difference, who are productive members of society. We have someone on the line. I'm going to open up the line and see if anyone has a question. Caller, do you have a question for Mickey? Okay. I'll leave the line open, and if you have a question, feel free to just go ahead and ask your question. What we've been discussing is reinvention, mm-hmm. right? We've been talking about how you would reinvent yourself. And sometimes what happens with people is that they don't know where to start with reinvention for the simple reason that they don't even know who they are. I mean, they know who their parents wanted them to be and their teachers wanted them to be. They know what their husbands, their spouses, their wives, their children want them to be, but they've just kind of been moving along through life and they never stop long enough to ask themselves mm-hmm. what they want in life. So the process of reinvention is hard. So how do you start that?
Well, I'm going to back into it, Yvonne. Another thing that Steve Jobs said is that how lucky he feels he's been is that his life has been lived doing what his passion is, what his life is. And so I believe it's a matter of finding your passion and sometimes compartmentalizing it for years and years until you don't even know where you put it. You have to find the key to open that up. And so the process of reinvention begins with thinking about your successes, and that's what you brought up earlier. I ask people about what do you feel, just like you asked me your successes are, because those successes is where we can begin to build your toolbox of what will take you to the next step of what you really want and what your passion is. So I have a philosophy that find something you love to do and get someone to pay you for it. Isn't that wonderful that you're doing
it's
in life?
Wonderful.
Your life, personal and professional life, is just like a hamster's wheel. It's just rolled into one. So the process of reinvention begins with that, going back to that self-awareness of I know that I don't like the way I feel or I'm not sure who I am, and starting with asking people who they see you as, people that love you, not the toxic people in your life. You mentioned that earlier. That's part of the process is releasing, getting rid of the toxic relationships in your life. And as I described it, those are the relationships that when you are with this person or in this circumstance, you do not like who you are. That is my thermometer of how do I know it's a toxic relationship. And these are usually the people who are telling you what you should be saying, wearing, doing, and all of that. So that's where the process begins, with this process of self-awareness, which is often painful. Coaching is going to take you to places that are not so comfortable. It is not an easy process, but the outcome is wonderful. Coach will take you to places that you've not been to before, and you don't have to respond, but they'll give you the food for thought, and over the weeks of coaching, you'll have these aha moments. But it begins with self-awareness. And then, through self-awareness, self-discovery. And then, through self-discovery, the ahas is, right, painting is something that I do on the side, but I'm really good at it. Maybe I want to explore that. Maybe I, whatever it might be out there that you have compartmentalized.
I love that, and it's true. And I've had 10 careers because life changes, and as you go through life changes in different decades of your life, you like different things. You find that you have different callings. And I tell people, what you seek is also seeking you. What's calling out to you is the thing that's meant for you. And if this thing is calling out to you all the time, then do not heed what anyone else says. Because whatever it is that they're saying to deter you from this thing that's calling you so powerfully, it's something for them. It's not for your own benefit. So focus on what works for you.
Right.
And
I have
for the thing.
I have an interview. One of my interviews in my book and my dissertation was a woman who was in a physically abusive marriage, and but to the outside world, it was the Cleaver family, because that's the way we were raised in that generation, many generations ago. She finally, when her children left, had the courage to leave this marriage and found, wow, here I am, but I have no career, I have no skills, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't have a clue who I am, going back to that basic question. And one of her friends suggested that she actually has had a lot of training in life skills, and that the airlines are hiring, quote-unquote, older flight attendants. And her friend worked with her and got her an interview, and she went through a couple interviews, and she was hired for the airlines to be an older flight attendant. That was her career for 14 years, which is why I go back to that if you think you've been living your life for others, it's a matter of timing. You really have been developing the skills for the next part of your life. She had a 14-year career with the airlines, and it was amazing.
Of course it was, because now she was in control of her own destiny. And she
exactly.
found that the skills that she had that she never even knew she had, and she learned and grew, and her whole life is better for it. And that's what it's all about. Now, I have a question for you, because a lot of people think that, well, you know, I'm older and I can't start over now. But as I mentioned in our introduction, you went back to school after age 50 and got your PhD.
Mm-hmm. I got my PhD at age 67. My sister gets devastated when I say this, but I am. I'm 69 years old. I'm a grandmother of eight. I started a new business, which is growing and building. My clients are growing. I don't always know to the point where I probably have to make referrals, and I'm just writing a book. I have started. I've just reinvented my life at over 65 years old, and I have my Medicare and Medicaid card. And I see myself going for many, many years, you know, God willing, and everything. I exercise 1 hour every day, every single day. That gets the endorphins going and helps me with my own writing and with servicing my clients and being the best I can be, and babysitting, being the best grandma, Mimi. Actually, I'm a Mimi that I can be. So if anyone ever has the thought that I'm too old, just tell them my story. I'm just beginning at 69 years old.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know, one of my favorite stories is the fact that a lot of people don't even realize it, but Colonel Sanders was over 65 when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And he used his Social Security check to help him get started. So, you know, and Grandma Moses was 90 when she took up the first paintbrush and started painting.
That's what I heard. And,
I
don't remember, oh my goodness, it slipped my mind. That must be a senior moment. But, you know, I can remember the things that are important, but not that this isn't, but the founder of the National Speakers Association, which has grown huge over the years, the first founder and first president, he was 69 when he founded the National Speakers Association.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. But I collect these stories because when people look me in the eye and go, but, which is the avoidance word,
mm-hmm.
I have real references like Mickey Berg, who got her PhD at 69. You have the Colonel Sanders, which is now all over the world. And you have lots of people who do things and didn't stop and go, oh, I might be too old, or who do I think I am, or any of those things. So, and part of that, I believe, is because they learn to love themselves. If you love yourself, you never give up on yourself. You always know that there's some hope for you, and there's something that you can do. And like you said a few minutes ago, find that thing and go for that thing, because that's what's going to make it work.
I was a born risk taker, Yvonne, and I don't know why. And of course, more extroverted than introverted, and so it may be harder for others. But actually, I've seen people, or I've worked with clients who have done things far that exceeded the things that I feel that I've achieved in my life. But I'm happy with who I am and where I am. And again, the timing of it. I was not prepared, nor equipped, nor able to be the coach I am and the author I am before I experienced everything in life that I have up to this point in my life. So I feel like I've been in a preparation state, and so are you, everyone who's out there. What have you been preparing for? And maybe it's time to move forward and make it a reality.
Absolutely. Those are wonderful, wonderful closing statements. I would like you to take a couple of minutes and tell people where they can reach you, your website, your phone number.
Yes, my website, and there is a three-minute video, very current one, which tells you more about me and life coaching, and that is www.positiveoutcomescoaching.com, and that is outcomes with an S. www.positiveoutcomescoaching.com. I can be reached by email at Mickey, M as in mother, I-C-K-I, at positiveoutcomescoaching.com, or by phone at 248-330-7005.
Thank you very much for the wonderful interview, Mickey.
You're very welcome.
Thanks to all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. And I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'll leave you with this thought for the day. Be a yardstick of quality. Some people aren't used to an environment where excellence is expected. That, quote, is by Mr. Steve Jobs. Remember to always join us on the second Saturday each month. In the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown to share your comments about today's show. While you're there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to provide some feedback for today's show. Thanks again, Mickey.
Thank you, Yvonne. Take care.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at Yvonne@YvonneFBrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.yvonnefbrown.com, YvonneFBrown.com, to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.